D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe are live at SEC Media Days in Atlanta. A reminder that they will be joined by SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey today at 12:45 on the program. Our coverage from SEC Media Days is sponsored by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South and Cool Springs. Let's go to SEC Media Days in Atlanta, where we are joined by Trey Wallace, the national college sports reporter for Outkick and Fox. Trey, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
I'm good. We are, we got the afternoon here left, and then one more day tomorrow, and we're getting closer to football season, thank goodness.
So, yes, of course. So, today is Alabama Day, among other days at SEC Media Days, and I need your help to give me a good read on the Crimson Tide this coming season. Kalen DeBoer said that Alabama fell way short of expectations last season. It was the first time that the Crimson Tide failed to win at least 10 games since Nick Saban's first season nearly 20 years ago. They had their opportunities to make the college football playoff, but losing to Vanderbilt, which we all loved around here, certainly did not help Alabama's cause. So what should we expect from Alabama this coming season?
Yeah, I think last year they were really trying to find their identity of what they were without Saban. I mean, and look, that was the conversation last year. What is Kalen DeBoer going to look like? Him coming from Washington to Alabama. Is this something that was going to work? Jalen Milroe at quarterback with an offense that I didn't really think kind of fit Jalen Milroe. I think now, and that's nothing against Milroe because I think he would have flourished in other offenses. But now you take a look at it, and Kalen DeBoer talked about it. Ty Simpson would be the starting quarterback. If they were to, you know, start the season today, I think he's going to be the guy either way once we get out of fall camp. Look, Alabama, in my opinion, has got themselves a good offensive line this year. Caden Proctor's here down here in Atlanta. I think he's going to be the glue to that line of scrimmage. They're going to be reestablished in the running game. They're going to try to get it down the field. To me, the defense is going to be fine for Alabama. I know what some teams did to them last year. But at the same time, it's like that Oklahoma game where they go out to Norman and they get beat. Well, you know what? The offense didn't show up. So you look at the situation now. You know, it's also, too, we don't know what to expect from Ty Simpson. Even though we think he's going to be good, it's the same thing with, like, and I'm not trying to compare Arch with Ty, so please don't say that. But I am saying we still don't know where we're going to get out of Arch yet. He's played in two games. So I look at what Alabama has, even with Austin Mack quarterback. You know, they could go different directions. But to me, this is going to be a team that I think the first weekend of November is fighting for a playoff spot. And whether that be, you know, they're the 13th ranked team in the country, or they the 11th or 10th or 9th. I do think that they kind of get back in that conversation. But at the end of the day, when it comes to national championships, I still think they're a year or two away from winning that. I think there's a couple teams in the SEC that are ahead of them. But as you can tell with their recruiting lately, they're starting to put things back together. So, again, it probably didn't help that the Nick Saban nonsense from earlier the week kind of came out, you know, and Kalen gets here on Wednesday. But overall, heading into next year, I do think that they have an opportunity to be a playoff team and potentially compete for a national championship. They just got to make sure they fix a few things on offense.
Let's move on to another team being represented today at SEC Media Days, the Florida Gators.
Yep.
And DJ Lagway, a lot of interest in him at quarterback. Where would you put him, if you are ranking SEC quarterbacks, where would you put Lagway? And how bright do you think the future is in Gainesville with him under center?
Man, he's the savior of Billy Napier from last year. I mean, what, halfway through the season, we're talking about who's going to be the next head coach at Florida. I love DJ Lagway. I think he's going to be really good this year. I think he's got enough wide receivers that are going to make him even better this year. Now, does that mean Florida's going to fight for a playoff spot? No, not in my opinion. But at the same time, you know, go out and win 8-9 games next year and have Billy Napier find success on offense with DJ Lagway, who's shown he can be a really good player. Now, I know he went in and got some shoulder surgery done this offseason that, according to people I talked with, kind of put it off for a little bit. But now, you know, hopefully I think he's going to be full go and ready for the opening game of the year. But to me, I think Florida has the ability to put all the Billy Napier nonsense to the side. But I'll say this. I mean, we could still be having a conversation about Napier and is he the right fit for Florida, you know, 5-6 games in the 2025 season. Just because how the schedule lines up. And so, to me, I think they take a step forward from where they were last year. And we all saw how they ended that thing. But a lot of it's going to rely on the arm of DJ Lagway. And I think that, you know, he's the guy that Billy Napier has entrusted to lead this offense, be that guy on the field for them, be that captain. And I do. At the end of the day, I think we're going to look back to last season and be like, God, man, okay. Like Billy Napier's here to stick around. You know, thank goodness for Florida's case, they decided not to get rid of him or decided to go in some weird direction because of fan outrage. But it is going to be a fascinating tale to watch the Gators this year, especially if they don't shore up the defense. So excited to see what DJ can do, though.
Trey Wallace is with us from Outkick. We're talking SEC. He is over at SEC Media Days. Trey, I think Joey Aguilar is going to be one of the more unique case studies, I think, as we move forward in this era of college football and the NIL. He's a little bit of a mystery. We know what he did at Appalachian State. It sounded like they tried to temper expectations and say the quarterback job is open. But what did you learn about him, if anything, yesterday?
Well, I think it goes back to more about what I've learned over the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks with Joey Aguilar. He jumped head first into this thing. Every single meeting that he can, holding extra throwing sessions with the receivers when he can, at team meetings that don't even involve the quarterbacks, popping on the defensive side. So what I'm getting at is he's trying to turn himself into a leader at Tennessee. But also, at the same time, you can't forget, you know, you got Merklinger around. And this is going to be an open competition. But I think at the end of the day, look, I've watched Joey Aguilar play a lot of college football, mainly because he was in the same conference as my South Alabama Jaguars. So I did get to see a lot of him at App State. And, you know, he went out to UCLA to be the starting quarterback. Now we know how things went and where they went haywire. But I think coming into Tennessee, I think that opportunity is there for him to kind of shut down the nonsense that everything happened during the spring. Now, we all know how it's going to be. Tennessee goes out and loses a football game early on in the season in the first month, and they barely score 15, 16, whatever, how many points. They're going to be like, you know, should they have paid Nico to stay at Tennessee? But I think Joey Aguilar, I'm not saying he's going to be like that guy, you know, that's conversation one of the top quarterbacks in the country. But I do think he can do enough. And Tennessee does have some receivers that will be able to help him downfield, and I think you're going to see them open it up a little bit more than you've seen in years past. Even with Nico as a quarterback, I mean, you look at the offense last year. I mean, it was a lot of 15-yard slants. I didn't see a lot down the field. I mean, I'm sure there was a couple of games, but I do think that Joey Aguilar gives him that presence, and I think at the end of the day, he's going to be the starting quarterback for Tennessee, and then we see where things go from there. This squad, it's interesting to me, as much as they were pass heavy with Hendon Hooker and whatnot, and kind of tried to be with Joe Milton, they've really turned that running game into something that Josh Heupel can rely on. So to me, it's going to be the fascinating part is, can the running game help offset any kind of the passing game problem? So, but Josh, look, behind the scenes, the staff is excited about Aguilar. But just as much as they'd be excited for Merklinger right now, and you're going to have to go out there and prove it. But I do think that Joey has a leg up, even from an experience standpoint. He's got that over Merklinger.
I think we would all agree that last year, Diego Pavia was a sort of a sneak attack. It was an ambush. Nobody knew anything about him. And the next thing you know, they've got especially some early wins. And when he was healthy, he had an amazing season, we know. I'm curious about, especially from where you sit, Trey, you saw him go through. He's got that great persona. Vanderbilt has no choice but to double down on that, right? Even though Vanderbilt historically, and I think Clark Lee would be wired this way. I'm a Vanderbilt guy. I've seen it. You can't hype yourself up too much. it's risky to do that. Yeah. But Diego Pavia, he's got to be himself, and Clark Lea wants him to be himself. But I'm curious, when there's not that element of surprise, what they have in store this year to try to duplicate what they did last year.
They have got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose when it comes to propping themselves up, saying whatever needs to be said. Diego's going to be Diego. And thankfully, you know, he kind of came on my radar when New Mexico State went into Auburn a few years ago and won that game. You're like, wait a minute, who's that kid? And then he ends up at Vanderbilt. I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is going to be interesting. Like, we've seen how he can play. The surprise factor, and, you know, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks like Diego. To me, he's got, man, such toughness to him that stands out to me more than maybe some other running quarterbacks. I think, if you're Vanderbilt, you have to embrace all of this. Diego's out here talking about national championships. God bless him. Like, if he feels that way, let him feel that way. Like, it's funny, you know, you put something out on social media, you know, Diego's comments, and everybody wants to attack, oh, that guy's an idiot, he's crazy. Why is he an idiot for thinking and believing that his team can fight for a national championship or an SEC championship? I mean, and especially a lot of it's been Tennessee fans. It's like, well, excuse me, wait a minute, Tennessee, you know, okay, you made the playoff last year, that's fine, but you got humiliated. I think that right now, there's a lot of envy of the folks at Vanderbilt. I honestly think that Diego Pavia is a lightning rod that the Commodores need. They're going to be able to help them. And I think that at the same time, the promotion that he gives the school. I mean, think about it. Outside of, I don't even know, outside of the Nick Saban rumor, story, whatever you want to call that on Monday, I mean, and Arch Manning yesterday, which Arch was going to take the headlines, by the way, there hasn't been a more talked about person at SEC Media Days than Diego Pavia, and he went on the first day. I just think that Vanderbilt right now, just take all of this and enjoy it and go out there and make sure that you win the games that you're supposed to win. Then at the same time, surprise a couple of folks. I think I don't know. You know, a lot of people run these types of offenses and whatnot, but, you know, people did have problems trying to stop Diego last year. Even the Texas game that I was at. I mean, Texas had a hard time stopping him. I know what the final score was. So what I'm saying is, if I'm Vanderbilt, you got nothing to lose here. Go all in. Have fun with it. Promote the heck out of it. If you want to start a Heisman campaign for him after week one, do whatever you got to do. This is free promotion, and Diego is worth every penny that they are spending on this. And I think at the end of the day, Clark Lea has got himself a squad that is going to surprise a lot of folks this season.
Trey Wallace of Outkick joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Trey, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of SEC Media Days.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You as well. Trey Wallace on the program. Willie, how does that sound to you? People envious of Vanderbilt.
Well, this is the danger. I think this is where you really find out how good you are, because I don't – you know, Trey, one of his last things that he said there was, they might surprise some people. I don't know what it would take to surprise this year. It would be – surprise would be do more than you did last year. Or for some people, maybe, surprise would be to duplicate what you did last year. When you consider how tough the schedule is, who you have to beat, he said you got to win the games you're supposed to win. Well, how many games will Vanderbilt be the favorite on their schedule? 3? 4? Even though I think on paper – their roster looks a lot better. They return production, as you heard Clark Lea say. That was one of his themes in the many interviews that he did. They return more production than they have since he's been there. That being said, I still don't think they're going to walk in and be favored in a lot of their games. So they will have to continue to overachieve just to be as good as they were last year. And they're not going to sneak up on anybody. Nobody's going to take them as lightly as they were taken last year.
615-737-1025. I'm glad that we're on this topic, because during the break, I want Willie to transform into Coach Willie for a second, because there were some things that Clark Lea and Diego Pavia said that got a lot of run at SEC Media Day. So I want Willie to transform over the next few minutes into Coach Willie. And I have some questions for him coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.